Anarchopreneur, episode number 50, the Big 5-0, why podcasting is great for profits. All right, here we go.
Government is inefficient and should be dissolved.
What government should actually do is just leave people alone to buy and sell freely among themselves. If they just leave self-interested traders to compete with one another, markets are guided to positive outcomes as if by an invisible hand.
It's free markets that are moral because you only succeed if you meet the needs and wants of other people.
One of the hard things for people to understand is that the more you try to control an economy, the more quickly it falls apart.
Capitalism. God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
What is up, free market squad, in the place to be? Welcome back to another exciting episode, the 50th milestone episode of Anarchopreneur, the Nathan Fraser Show. I am, of course, your host with the Hero Complex, the high priest of propaganda, Nathan Fraser. You, more importantly, you are the free market squad. Thank you for taking an hour out of your day to hang with me. Thank you for helping me get to 50 episodes. And here's to a ton more. It's 2017. I am stoked for where this year is already going, with a couple minor exceptions. I've got an awesome episode planned for you. So without any further ado, let's just go ahead and actually, you know what? A little bit of further ado. Real quick, I want to shout out the networks and radio stations that make this unprogramming possible. First, a huge thank you to Chris and Cherie Gio over at Truth Frequency Radio Network. You guys are fantastic. I really appreciate everything that you do to help get this message out there. Also, Jules over at UCY.TV, much love and thank you for everything that you do to help get this and all the other messages out there. Appreciate that. And of course, LRN.FM, Ian Freeman over there, doing a ton of work to get out the message of liberty, which this show does have a lot of that in it. So much love and thank you for picking up and rebroadcasting this show over at LRN. I really do appreciate that. All right, let's just jump straight into it. This week, I've been off for a couple of weeks. I had two supplemental episodes. I was not feeling very well over the Christmas break. Health-wise, I got hit with a major head cold. Took me down. I'm back, baby. And I'm excited to be back up in your ear holes. So this is the first live or first actual episode that wasn't repurposed content in about 3 weeks. It's been about 3 weeks since the last time I was up in your ear holes. That is way too long. I was starting to feel like a disconnect. I don't know. I'm back on the mic though, and I'm happy. This week we're going to be talking about mixing business with politics. I do a lot of that on this show. We're also, because it's the 50th episode, I'm going to do a little bit of trivial knowledge about myself. I'm just going to kind of lay out the top 10 things that you might or might not know about me. And also I'm going to get into why podcasting is my preferred form of content creation, content marketing, in the very last segment of the show, which will be the title of this episode, why podcasting can lead to profits, or something along those lines. And I've also got some exciting news, two bits of really exciting news at the end of the show. So stick around for that. Without any further ado, let's just jump in to this week's segment number one, Live Free FM, Focus on Freedom. All right. So like I said in the intro of the show, I have gotten some criticism about the direction of the show, and I'm okay with that. I understand. The show is not for everybody. The show is for me, and it's for the free market squad, and I really don't care about other people's opinions, but I still get other people's opinions. So the biggest criticism that I've gotten about the show and the new direction of the show ever since I stopped doing Live Free FM and went into doing Anarchopreneur, the biggest criticism that I've gotten is people not liking the fact that I mix business with politics. So I get this from both ends. I get a lot of the old fans from Live Free FM a lot of them have accused me of selling out. Oh, all you care about is business and money and blah, 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 blah. You've gone to the dark side and now you're teaching people how to market and that's manipulative and a lot of that. Money isn't everything. Yeah. Okay. So I get that. And I agree. Money isn't everything, but, yeah, well, whatever. I've definitely turned off a large percentage of the old audience from my previous podcast, Live Free FM. And I'm okay with that. Some criticisms that I get from new listeners is that they love the guests that I have on. They love the marketing content that happens at the end of the show, but they hate hearing, or at least, they often disagree with and, don't find very much value in the first half of the show, which is where I get into, I do Nathan Frazierland, obviously, and I also do this segment, the Live Free FM Focus on Freedom. And so I have two different audiences that half of them like one part of the show, half of them like the other part of the show, and they both complain about the opposite part of the show. So one piece of advice that I recently got that I'm not following, but one piece of advice that actually I've gotten this a couple of times from different people, but is the advice to separate the shows, do two different shows, do one show that's all about, you know, liberty and libertarian and anarchistic ideals, and then do a different show that's about marketing and business ownership, and have them be two separate shows. And I contemplated that idea, but for a number of different reasons that I'm going to get into later, but off the top of my head, that would be a lot more work, having to produce two separate shows and figure out how to make them work with the networks that I'm on, to be able to choose whether or not, like when I have guests come on, they take up the whole hour oftentimes, and sometimes they only want to come on for a half hour. So how would I make that work with the networks expecting an hour long show? Maybe if I cut it down to a half hour long show, either way, it'd be a logistical nightmare. Not going to try and take that on. Also, it'd be just a lot more work in general. I'd have to come up with new bumper music, and I'd have to produce two episodes every week rather than just one. I could probably do it, but, and then a whole new Facebook page, a whole new name for the show, new Facebook pixels, a new website. I'm just not trying to do that. So probably not, actually definitely not going to break the show up into two different entities. And I guess the thing about it is, I kind of touched on this earlier, but I don't really care if half of my show alienates people that are attracted to the other half, but they just can't listen because they can't stand the first half or they can't stand the second half. I don't really care, because I don't want to serve people that only want half of who I am. I don't want to serve people that only want half of what my message is. There's a small overlap of the community of people who believe in self-ownership and the community of people who believe in business ownership. There is a small overlap there. There is a niche market in between those two communities, and that's who I'm here to serve. And everybody who's outside of that small niche, even if they fall in one of the other two communities, if they don't fall into both of them, I really don't care for serving them, because, well, I'll get more into that in a second, but that's my position. This podcast is to serve that overlap community. It's not to serve one or the other. And I don't believe that I should separate the message as much as I've been told that I should. So that's kind of my decision on it. And if I'm going to be completely honest, I actually wish more business owners would speak out politically. I wish that more people who are thought leaders in the business world, I wish that they would actually do more to speak out politically. I understand why most of them don't. I get that being vocal about politics turns certain clients away. I get that. I deal with it myself, actually. But the fact of the matter is, I think it's vital. It's important that business owners do speak their mind when it comes to political issues. because the fact of the matter is that politics affects business ownership, and politics affect the business world. And right now, there's like this giant rise in cultural Marxism, in the ideas of forced equality of outcome. And that is not good for entrepreneurial minded or business owner type minded people. And not just financially, but like not just economic Marxism, which is really bad for business owners, but cultural Marxism, the idea of like microaggressions. I've seen advertisements be just lambasted. Last summer there was an advertisement for some kind of like health and fitness or maybe some diet supplement. I can't remember what it was, but it showed a skinny girl at the beach, and it was like the question on the advertisement was, "Are you beach body ready?" And social justice warriors just attacked this campaign. And the people that owned the company, they doubled down. They didn't apologize. They refused to apologize for their ad, and it actually ended up garnering them a bunch of business. Their profits went up. So it was an example of a business owner taking a stand against this culture of microaggression, victim mindset. But that's not all. I think of like cake decorators and cake shop bakeries being shut down and fined with huge amounts of money because they chose to exercise their right to deny service to people. And whereas myself, I wouldn't ever really turn away money, especially over something so petty as who somebody wants to get married to. If two dudes want to get married, I'd be happy to make a cake for them. If two chicks wanted to get married, I'd be happy to make a cake for them. And to be completely honest, I mean, on the other end, if somebody wanted to come in and get like a Black Lives Matter cake, as much as I disagree with some of the actions taken by certain Black Lives Matter activists, if they wanted a Black Lives Matter cake made, I would make the cake for them. Same thing if some cops, which I definitely disagree with a lot of the stuff that goes on in the world of police. If they wanted a Blue Lives Matter cake, I would absolutely make it. But if I felt morally objected to making any of those cakes, I would, as a business owner, feel like I should have the right to decide not to serve that particular customer. If I feel like if I was vehemently against, police officers or gay marriage or Black Lives Matter or Donald Trump or Barack Obama, and somebody wanted to come in and order a cake that espoused those ideals or promoted those ideals that I stood dead set against, I shouldn't be forced to make that. But that's not the legal realm that we live in right now. And it's because, in my opinion, it's because not enough business owners have stood up against the cry bully tactics of cultural Marxists. And here's the deal. That's just one aspect of Marxism messing up the business world. But the reality of the situation is entrepreneurs are the real problem solvers of the world. Entrepreneurs are the people that go out and make the innovations that make life better for the masses. We're the ones that we tackle problems in a way that doesn't use force and doesn't use taxation. We don't force you to buy our product. We don't force you to buy into our solution. We don't steal from you in order to fund our solutions. We voluntarily go out there and you voluntarily support our actions, or you don't, and you let us know that this isn't something that's important to you, and we go out of business. But we only succeed if people actually like our solutions, which is not true with the government, and which is not true with a lot of the people on the left. And I don't want to specifically demonize people on the left, because the truth of the matter is I'm against a lot of the military actions, and people on the right have no problem forcing me to buy their protection solution when I disagree with it. I don't like bombing innocent people. I don't like aggression on an international level. I don't think that these things make us safer, and I don't think that I should be forced to buy this protection solution, but people on the right are just as happy to force me to buy into their solution of international protection as people on the left are willing to force me to buy into their ideals of solutions for inequality. So, on both ends of the spectrum, politics is not my preferred way to go about problem solving, and entrepreneurialism is, and entrepreneurs only succeed if the people actually like the solutions that are being presented. So entrepreneurs, in my opinion, just miles above using government tactics to solve problems. But historically, entrepreneurs, especially in civilizations or cultures that start to go down the path of socialism or Marxism, historically, business owners and entrepreneurs get the short end of the stick. The businesses get robbed from the business owner. The businesses, the means of production get stolen right out from underneath the business owner. A lot of times they get trapped in the country. I've seen documentaries and I've read historical accounts of people that were pretty well off, very successful business owners in a community that decided to start adopting socialism. And when they realize, okay, I provide for this community, and now they just want to steal everything that I've provided for them. So I'm packing my bags and I'm leaving. And then the governments of those areas start putting up walls, like the Great Wall the Berlin Wall. They start putting up barbed wire. They start killing anybody that tries to leave. So the producers of the community end up getting trapped and held against their will. Oftentimes, like Che Guevara and Cuba and Castro, a lot of the business owners there were rounded up and murdered. Anybody who disagreed with the new socialist ideal was rounded up and murdered. And it's not exclusive to Cuba. This is also Mao Zedong in China and Stalin and Lenin in Russia. This is par for the course. When socialism starts to gain a good foothold in a society, the entrepreneurs, the business owners, they get rounded up and often mass murdered. So right now in this country, because we have this mixed economy where we've got a mix of socialism and a mix of capitalism, and we're leaning more and more towards socialism, it seems every single day this country takes another step towards socialism. That's a very dangerous situation for entrepreneurs to be in. And because of the historical precedents, I am kind of, it disheartens me that more entrepreneurs don't take a stand against the social justice warriors, against the cultural Marxists, against the socialists in society, because, historically not standing up to these people doesn't end well for the business owners, the entrepreneurs, the well-to-dos in society. So, it may not be smart to mix your political opinions with your business. Yeah, it may not be smart to mix your business with your activism. But the thing about what I do is my activism is my business. I believe that I just went through it. I believe that entrepreneurship is something that is very healthy. Free markets are something that is necessary for free people, and excelling in free markets is something that's necessary to keep a society free and to keep yourself free. So people might say, well, Nathan, what you do with the marketing aspect of your show doesn't really qualify as activism. I think it absolutely does qualify as activism. I want small business owners to succeed. I want small business owners to have the knowledge that big giant businesses with multi-trillion dollar marketing budgets have. I want small business owners to understand how they can utilize the technology that's out there so that they can actually compete against these companies that have gotten in bed with the government and have you know, cozied up with the regulators and have lobbyist regulator relationships going on to basically squeeze the small guys out of the market. I want to help the entrepreneurial minded people out there to be able to compete against these big companies. That's like a huge passion of mine. And I don't, when we see like the censorship that's happening on these big giant companies like Facebook and YouTube and Google, being almost on par with the giant old school media companies like ABC and CBS and CNN. When we see these giant companies that are in bed with the government handing over your information, to spying agencies like the NSA, I want there to be free market solutions. I want there to be competition for these giant corporations. And so, and I don't think we can have freedom if we don't have that competition, because let's face it, we need ways to communicate. We need ways to get to and from work. We need these solution that these companies provide for us. But when the companies have monopolies and they're just, these markets are dominated by these giant corporations and there's no small businesses out there to compete with them, we get stuck with these crappy, you know, privacy invading solutions that I don't want to be stuck with. And the best solution is for smaller businesses that don't get in bed with the government to be able to compete with these big businesses. And so that's what my activism is about. My activism is about helping those small businesses. My activism is about keeping the market as free as possible so that there's as many solutions and as much competition for you to choose from as possible. And if you're somebody providing a free market solution to something that helps somebody avoid having to get in a contract with a company that doesn't respect their privacy, I want you to be able to succeed. So yes, what I do, in my opinion, is a form of activism. And teaching the BYO boss type mentality is my activism. My business is my activism. And without my activism, my business disappears. And without my activism and other people standing up and taking a stand against the overregulation of markets, the continued merging of public and private, and the continued incremental steps marching towards socialism and away from capitalism in this mixed economy that we have, without people standing up against that, my business disappears. And if it goes too far, everybody else's business disappears too. And that's a very scary thought for me. So no, I won't separate the two messages. The two messages will continue to co-mingle on this podcast, and the people that will be best served in my audience are the people that fall into that overlap of people who want to be their own boss, both politically and professionally. So enough of that. That was a little bit heavy. Sorry about that, guys. But actually, no, I'm not sorry. I stand by it. But I'm going to get into segment two of this week's episode, and I'm just going to jump into the top 10 facts that you might not know about me, Nathan Frazier. So, number one, I used to be a huge liberal. You might not have guessed by that rant that I just went on, but I actually grew up on welfare. I actually grew up completely dependent upon the government. Now, I've never been a fan of the government, especially because I saw all the chains that came, all the strings that were attached to the handouts. It seems like they give you just enough rope to hang yourself. I am not a fan of government, but I always figured if government's going to be around, it should take care of the poor. It should punish those greedy capitalists who got rich because we consume their goods. They wouldn't need, we're the ones that drive the backbone of the economy. So let's take some of their money and give it to the poor so that the poor can actually afford these overpriced goods that the capitalists are making such huge profits off of. That was my thinking back until I was probably in my mid-20s, early 20s. But yeah, I used to be a huge liberal. I grew up completely indoctrinated in the liberal mindset. So fun fact about Nathan Frazier, number one, I used to be a huge liberal. Fun fact about Nathan Frazier, number two, my first business that kind of actually worked me out of that mindset was me and my little brother, when he was still alive, we started up a rap music duo. It was called The Civilians Military, and our record label was called Mob Hits Records. It was very political, and again, I was still very much in my left-leaning mentality at the time, so there's a lot of stuff in our earlier records that I don't really stand behind anymore. But yeah, that was my first venture into capitalism, was starting a record label, and it quickly woke me up to a lot of misconceptions that I had about the business world, about business ownership. And, it was one of those pivotal moments. It was one of those moments where I had a pivot in my mindset and, started letting go of some of my leftist mentality and started understanding why, capitalism was actually a better form of economics than socialism was. Number three, fun fact about Nathan Frazier, number three, I love hip hop. I would say if I had to identify with any particular type of pop culture or subculture, it would be hip hop. Especially 90s era and early 2000s era hip hop. My favorite, two or three rap groups of all time. We'll say four. Number one, Psycho Realm, probably all-time favorite. Number two, M.O.P., Mash Out Posse, what's up? Number three, Twisted, and some of you might not even know who they are. That's okay. I'm not a juggalo, but I really liked Twisted stuff. And number four, Wu-Tang Clan, ain't nothing to fuck with. Favorite rappers, Eminem, probably Redman, Method Man, a lot more probably. But here comes the bumper music. You want to hear some more stuff about me, get to know me a little bit better, stick around on the other side of the break. I'll continue my top 10 Nathan Frazier facts you might not know.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
All right, Free Market Squad. Every week, I like to shine a little bit of spotlight on a member from the Free Market Squad online community. This week, I want to tell you about Jim Limber Davis at jimlimberdavis.com. That's JimLimberDavis.com. Jim is a blogger and an author. His blog is all about voluntarism, self-ownership, and some of the issues that go along with that. And you can also check out Jim's book at his website. And Jim has a bunch of anarcho-capitalist merchandise available from his website as well. So if you want to express your political and economic beliefs on a backpack, a t-shirt, or an iPhone case, you can do that by going to jimlimberdavis.com, JimLimberDavis.com. And if you would like your business or website shouted out on this midsection of Anarchopreneur, it's easy to do. All you have to do is join the Free Market Squad online community and take part in Self-Promotion Saturdays. Every Saturday, I pick one of the squad members who participates and give them a little bit of extra love right here on the midsection of the podcast. You can find out more information on how to join the Free Market Squad by going to freemarketsquad.com. That's freemarketsquad.com. All right, let's jump back into the show.
Let me ask you something. Haven't you ever been tempted to just break the rules and finally
get back at my big faceless corporate bosses for making me feel so small and insignificant?
Look at this, Marge. $58 and all of it profit. I'm the smartest businessman in the world.
Government can print money, but it's the entrepreneurs who really make the money.
Why don't you guys just make your cars cleaner and nicer and try to be better to your customers so that you can compete with Handy Car's popularity in the marketplace?
Shut up and take my money.
And we're back, Free Market Squad, in the place to be. Welcome back to this episode of Anarchopreneur. I am your host with a hero complex, the high priest of propaganda, Nathan the frickin' Frazier. Welcome back. It's the 50th episode, guys and girls, and attack helicopters and unicorns. A lot of different people in the demographic that listen to this show. It's the 50th episode, so I figured I'd take a little bit of time and let you get to know some stuff about me that I don't really talk about on the air very frequently. And so I'm kind of going through and giving the top 10 trivial information facts about Nathan Frazier that you might not know about. The first three, number one, I used to be a huge liberal. That might be shocking for you. Number two, my first business was actually an underground rap label with my little brother called Mob Hits Records. Number three, I absolutely love 90s era and early 2000s era hip hop. If I had to say that I identified as any kind of like pop culture, it would definitely be as a hip hop kid. But 90s era hip hop, early 2000s era hip hop. I cannot stand this new era of mumble rap. Not a fan. Number four, let's just jump into number four. This one is controversial. I get so much crap about this, but I just can't. You are who you are. You love who you love, and you can't pick that. I love girls with big booties, and I go crazy over a girl who can twerk. Now, often I'm criticized by people, especially inside of the self-appointed truther movement, who say that twerking is one of the signs of the modern signs of the downfall of mankind, and how it's just the most derogatory and most brainless thing ever. I disagree. I think it's beautiful. I think it's an art form if a girl can do it correctly. And I, you know, unapologetically, I just love it. If you got a big booty and you know how to twerk, you know how to work that ass, I appreciate that. And that's just the way it is. I love big booties and I love girls that can twerk. Number five, and you might know this about me, you might not know this about me, but my favorite cartoon as a kid growing up and still to this day, I just have this huge passion for is Ninja Turtles. I just love Ninja Turtles. Let's not jump into that. But yeah, I love Ninja Turtles. And specifically, my two favorite Ninja Turtles are Raphael and Michelangelo. And that's weird because they're the two that are the opposite of me. I'm more of the leader type guy, so I should probably identify more with Leonardo. I'm very analytical and quite intelligent, and so I should probably identify with Donatello. Raphael and Michelangelo, Raphael's like the hothead with a bad temper, and Michelangelo's the guy that likes to party too much. They both are much more in line with my little brother's personality. When my little brother was alive, those two reminded me of him. Maybe that's why I like them so much. They're definitely the opposite of who I am, but those are my two favorite. Raphael and Michelangelo are my two favorite Ninja Turtles. And to this day, I'll still watch Ninja Turtle cartoons. I love them. So number five, I love Ninja Turtles. Number six, I am a huge comic book nerd. You probably guessed that from number five, but I grew up, one of my only forms of escape as a kid was reading comic books. We used to go to the secondhand store or to the Salvation Army, and a lot of times there'd be beat up old comic books there, and my mom would grab them for me, and I fell in love with comics at a very young age. And my two favorite comics when I was a kid were Batman and the Punisher, probably because they were just like normal guys. They didn't have any superpowers. They were just guys that got sick of the way things were and took it into their own hands, handed out some vigilante justice. So I loved Batman and Punisher growing up as a kid. As a teenager, my favorite comic book was Spawn. I can't really say why. Maybe it was just because I loved Todd McFarlane and later Greg Capullo's art style. But I loved Spawn as a kid. It was my favorite comic book until the Spawn movie came out. And then it just made it hard for me to read Spawn anymore because it was definitely a downturn or turning point in the quality of the Spawn comic book and the Spawn franchise. And then today, I still read comics to this day. I only read two, though. I read The Walking Dead. I love The Walking Dead comic. I find it better than the TV show. I just love it. I think it's an awesome comic book. It's been going for a long time, and I think it's great. The other one is IDW puts out a Ninja Turtles comic, and I still read that every month or whenever a new issue comes out. I head down to my comic book store, and I pick it up. So still a huge comic book nerd. Even though I don't really like to let people know that. So number six, huge comic book nerd. Number seven. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard of this thing called a Myers-Briggs type indicator. It's a personality type test. I have taken this a couple of times, and every single time, it's one of the only tests where every single time I take it, I get the exact same result. I've done this test quite a few times throughout my life, and I always get the same result back. And it says that I'm an INTJ, which stands for introversion, intuition, thinking, and judgment. That's my personality type according to this test. Basically, they say that I'm the architect or the mastermind, which seems fitting. Also, they say that this type is often the misunderstood hero or the villain, the villains of most movies, or the misunderstood or the misunderstood hero of most stories fall into INTJ personality types. And I would say that that is probably accurate as well. Either the misunderstood hero or the villain. Take your pick. I don't really care. Number eight, I'm a Leo. I was born in August. I'm not really into astrology. I don't know. I mean, people, when they ask me what I am and I tell them I'm a Leo, they're usually like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. I don't know what that means. I'm not into astrology. Take it for whatever it's worth to you. But fun fact about Nathan Frazier, number eight, I am a Leo. Fun fact about Nathan Frazier, number nine, I often speak of myself in the third person. No, my dream job as a kid was actually to be a comic book artist. I still love drawing. I still love being artistic. My passions have kind of shifted. I'm more passionate about business and marketing, which I feel like those are also art forms as well. But it's weird because it's kind of like a 180. I used to be very against selling. Most people who are like artsy art fags are really against selling. I used to have a very anti-selling bias myself. So I've kind of done a complete 180 in the way that I view marketing and business. So it's kind of weird that I went from, and I still love being artistic, but it's kind of weird that I went from wanting to be a comic book artist and being a huge graffiti artist back in the day to going to where now I'm into selling and marketing. It's strange. Kind of a weird transition to make. But fun fact number 10 about me, your host with the Hero Complex, Nathan Frazier, is that my favorite color is blue. And this is probably because I grew up around a bunch of Crips and Sureño Thresas. It's probably because of gang-related activity in my childhood, why I love blue. But also, I find the color to be calming. It's like, it reminds me of the ocean and growing up on the West Coast. It reminds me of clear, sunny days where when you're a kid and you're just laying down and not worrying about anything and looking up into the sky and picking out formations in the clouds. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just a combination of those things, but I love the color blue. I find it incredibly calming. I find it, I have like a kinship relationship with the color blue, if that makes any sense at all. If it doesn't, I don't care. So there you have it. 10 fun facts about me, Nathan Frazier, that you probably didn't care about, but if you did, there they are for you. This being episode number 50, I wanted to give you a little bit more insight as to who I am, besides just the stuff that I rant about on this podcast. And speaking of that, back to some ranting. So this week's Be Your Own Boss segment of the show is going to be about content marketing and podcasting in particular. Why I love podcasts. It's my preferred form of content marketing, or just of content creation in general. So I've been podcasting since 2008. My first podcast was called Ghosts of the Republic Radio. I was actually a co-host on that show. I also did a show called Sovereignty Sundays, which was all about the legal system. I did a podcast called Live Free FM. I talked about that earlier. That was more of a, like a general, or an all-encompassing liberty-type themed show. And now I do this podcast, Anarchopreneur. I also have helped create, produce, and record podcasts for close to a dozen other podcasters. I've helped launch a lot of other people's podcasts. And I now own a podcast-related business. I own Podcast Blastoff, which is all about helping people get their podcast up and out into the ears of their listeners. So I love podcasting, but I kind of wanted to take a moment and explain why I love podcasting so much. And it probably goes back to, I don't know if you guys or girls or attack helicopters or however you want to sexually identify. I don't care. I don't know if it goes, it probably does. I don't know if you've seen this movie, but in 1990, Christian Slater put out this movie called Pump Up the Volume. And it was about this kid. He didn't fit in very well, had a lot of unpopular opinions, and was new to this town that he had just moved to. Imagine that, being new to a town that you just moved to. And he created this little underground pirate radio network or pirate radio station, and he would broadcast his crazy thoughts over this little micro broadcasting station that he had set up. And it led him to getting into a bunch of trouble with the FCC. And so he had to start driving around the neighborhood. I think there was a girl that, like, his love interest in the movie, she would drive the van around the neighborhood while he would be broadcasting, so that the FCC, he was a moving target, so the FCC couldn't come and find where he was broadcasting from. It was a great movie, though. It was all about, freedom of speech and the ability to express unpopular opinions and standing up and sticking it to the man. And I freaking loved that movie. And once I realized that I could do something very similar with podcasting, I was all in. I instantly fell in love with the idea of podcasting. I think that the majority of it goes back to how that movie inspired me as a kid. But podcasting is great because it's like a decentralized media. It allows anybody, literally anybody, can get their message out with a podcast. It's great for activism. I've used most of my podcasting has been based on activism, including this one, as much as people want to disagree with that. But it's also great for businesses as well. I think that, and there's a wide range in between those two, on the spectrum. There's comedy podcasts, there's podcasts about TV shows. There's a wide range of things you can podcast about. But I want to kind of focus on podcasting for business purposes as a form of content marketing. So content marketing is basically like attraction marketing. It's producing free content that you put out into the world as a means to attract potential customers or clients. So you create things and you put them out onto the internet or onto iTunes or wherever you put them. And it's like a low barrier way for people to start a relationship with you. So they're searching for how to do so-and-so, or they're digging through iTunes looking for a podcast on a particular subject, and you create content that they might be looking for, that they consume that content, and it helps build a relationship with you. It helps them get to know you as a service provider. It helps build trust with you and them. And it's just, that's kind of the idea of content marketing. Instead of forcing your message on somebody, you just create a message that other people might be looking for. And podcasting is great for that, for a bunch of different reasons. I think the very first reason I would say is because podcasting is very intimate. It's right up in your ear holes. Like right now, I'm having a conversation that is directly with you. It's kind of like we're on the telephone and we're having this, it's a monologue. Obviously I'm not able to hear what you have to say back, but I'm right up in your ear holes. And for you to let me into an orifice like that, it's just special. And I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate that. But it feels like a real form of communication as opposed to things like blogging where it's just reading, things like, Facebook or social media. Actually hearing somebody's voice being right up in your ear holes it takes that communication to another level of intimacy. So for that reason, I love podcasting. Another thing is, and this is just like a statistical reason, podcasting holds the attention of people a lot longer than any other form of media. YouTube, I think that the average consumption of a video on YouTube is between 2 and 3 minutes. Most people will turn a video off before it hits the 4 minute mark, or switch to a new video. The average consumption of a YouTube video is between 2 and 3 minutes. The average consumption of a podcast episode is 22 minutes. So almost 10 times, you get 10 times the amount of attention from somebody when they pick your podcast as opposed to when they pick your YouTube video. So having a podcast lets you grab somebody's attention and hold their attention for a lot longer than a YouTube video does. Also, podcasts can be consumed in ways that videos and blogs just can't, because in order to watch a video, you actually have to be watching it. In order to read a blog post, you have to actually be reading it. So it makes multitasking incredibly difficult. But for podcasts, all they have to do is give you their audio attention. People can listen to your podcast while they're working out. They can listen to your podcast while they're on a walk. They can listen to your podcast when they're doing chores. They can listen to your podcast when they're driving around. They can listen to your podcast at work. All of these forms of content consumption are only possible with podcasts. So when you're producing a podcast, you're able to get their attention when there's zero competition for that attention, because blogging and video just can't move into those realms. So podcasting can be consumed in ways that videos and blogs just can't. Also, podcasting is one of the fastest growing mediums or medias out there. I just read something recently that said over half of Americans have listened to at least one podcast in the last month. And that's a huge jump from even just last year. And 1/3 of Americans say that they listen to at least one podcast every week. That's incredible. And those numbers are exploding. Those numbers are only continuing to go up. So compared to all the other media out there, podcasting is, if not the fastest, it's one of the fastest growing as far as popularity goes. Also, and this is something that I've taken advantage of a lot, is podcasting allows you to connect with people that would otherwise be pretty much unattainable. You can write to somebody who wouldn't give you 2 minutes of their day and invite them to be a guest on your podcast, and all of a sudden they're willing to give you an hour of their day. People who never would have known that you existed, you can reach out to them and let them know that you want to interview them on a podcast. You can pick their brain. You can get great advice from people who usually charge thousands of dollars for consultations, and they're willing to give it to you for free because you have a podcast. And one of the cool things about it is you get the halo effect when you're constantly interviewing people that are thought leaders in your industry. People start to see you as a thought leader. Those people's status starts to rub off on you. And just because you're associated with them. So, and then the other thing is it makes you valuable to them. Now, if you have a podcast, you're the new media. So instead of going to Oprah, instead of going to MSNBC, these book authors, these thought leaders, they're looking to connect with podcasters. So it makes you valuable to the people that would otherwise be unattainable or inaccessible for you. So podcasting is great for networking and making connections. And that's probably just an invaluable reason to start podcasting. Next is, and this one is both on the activism tip and on the business tip, but there's no algorithm for the podcasting apps out there. There's no gatekeeper that gets in between you and your listener. Facebook has been caught censoring things all the time. Especially like conservative leaning stories. Last year there was a story that came out that said that Facebook was censoring a lot of stories. And now we got the whole fake news thing where a lot of like the left leaning media talking heads out there are now being able to censor what gets considered real news and what gets considered fake news. And it's going to make it less likely to show, even more less likely to show up on people's news feeds now when you share something that has been deemed fake news. And then on top of that, just as somebody who's marketing on Facebook, Facebook is the organic reach for your Facebook page used to be really good. It's been crippled over the last couple of years as Facebook has tried to monetize with Facebook ads. So the algorithm of Facebook is definitely set against both activists and business owners. Same thing with YouTube. You can have somebody subscribe to your YouTube channel. That doesn't mean they're going to get notifications of every time you put out a YouTube video. YouTube has an algorithm and they put what they prefer people to watch or what they think will be a better fit for people over what the people actually say they want to be subscribed to. So YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all of those different forms of media, they're not very effective at delivering a message, at least not nearly as effective as podcasting is. iTunes has no algorithm. If you subscribe to a podcast, if somebody subscribes to your podcast, it shows up every time they refresh and you have a new episode, it shows up right at the top. There's no censorship. There's no algorithm. There's nobody acting as a gatekeeper between your listener and you. So podcasting is great for getting your message out there without interference from some kind of third party. Next, podcasting is great at building a celebrity status. So a blog or an online course or a book, they can help build you or establish you as an authority. And podcasting can do that as well, but authority status just means that you know your stuff. It doesn't mean that people are attached to you. It doesn't endear you to people the way that a podcast can. A podcast lets your personality come through. It allows you to connect with people on a deeper level than just reading somebody's writing does. It takes you out of the boring realm of being a teacher, and it moves you into the realm of being an entertainer. And this makes you not only an authority on a subject, but this also has the effect of making you a celebrity in a field, which is, in my opinion, way more powerful than just being an authority. So podcasting can help you transition from just being an authority into being a celebrity. And being a celebrity is much more, especially for business purposes, being a celebrity in a field is a lot easier to leverage and can lead to a lot bigger payoff in the end. So, a lot of different reasons. I could probably go on for an hour with all the different reasons why I love podcasting as opposed to other forms of content marketing, but we're running close on time. I think I got like a minute left to the show. So I'm just going to end with this. If you want to start your own podcast, if you've been compelled by the things that I've been talking about and you think that starting a podcast might be right for you, check out my site, podcastblastoff.com. I've got tons of great information there on how to start a podcast, tons of free resources there. One of our most popular blog posts is how to build a podcast studio on any budget. Teaches you everything that you need to know to get up and podcasting as far as technology, as the technical side goes, no matter how much money you've got in your pocket right now. Also, I just launched, or I just released our secret sauce formula on how to launch on iTunes and dominate the new and noteworthy section. And there's also a free course on Podcast Blast Off about how to create a podcast and a lot more stuff. So if you're interested in starting a podcast, definitely check out podcastblastoff.com. And one more thing before I'm out of here, I got to let you know something I'm super excited about. I can't spill all of the beans right now, but I'm in the beginning stages of creating a podcast about copywriting, about advertising, with one of the world's highest paid, most well-respected copywriters. I can't say much more than that. I don't want to jinx myself, and I don't want to ruin the surprise, but something incredible is in the works. If you're into advertising, marketing, and copywriting, in the very near future, I'm going to bring some more information on a top secret project that I'm involved with that is just going to rock the world of copywriting. So stay tuned for that. If you enjoyed the show, go to iTunes, subscribe, rate, and review. If you know somebody who would benefit from this message, tag them in it, send it to them in a personal message so that they can check it out. Until next time, Free Market Squad, faith in each other, not in authority. Be your own boss. Hashtag BYO boss. I'm out of here. Deuces.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
You're a busy podcaster, not a web designer, but you know, without a professional website to send your guests and listeners to, your podcast will not get the attention it deserves. Having a great website is crucial to the success of your podcast, but it can also be a major headache, not to mention a drain on your wallet. You need a service that's easy to use, gives you a great website, and hosts your podcast files all in one place. You need BlastPod from Podcast Blastoff. Far from just another WordPress platform, BlastPod was built from the ground up by podcasters for podcasters. BlastPod is your all-in-one podcasting solution that gives you the ability to podcast like the pros. Sign up now and get access to your BlastPod website today. Putting the power of podcasting into the hands of the people. PodcastBlastoff.com. All right, Free Market Squad, one final call to action before I'm out of here. I want to let you know I just launched the Free Market Squad website, or relaunched it. It's brand new, tons of great, valuable information for you over there when it comes to running a business and marketing your business, copywriting, all that kind of stuff. But I want to draw your attention to a free webinar that I'm going to be hosting coming up January 23rd. It's the How to Set Yourself Up for Success webinar. It's 2017, the beginning of a brand new year. I want to make sure that you're set up for success. So I'm putting on a webinar. It's the 7 basic building blocks of any booming business, how to ensure that your business succeeds, how to avoid wasting time and money on a bad idea, how to make sure that your good idea becomes profitable. It's basically everything that I've learned through the multiple businesses that I've owned, through turning my most recent business into a profitable business, and through all of the different profitable and successful businesses that I've worked with. Everything that I wish I would have known when I first started out is going to be condensed into this free 1-hour webinar. Again, it's going to be January 23rd, but I want you to go there right now and sign up to make sure. There's only 100 seats available, so I want to make sure that you're able to attend and join this webinar. So go to freemarketsquad.com right now. The very first thing on the top of the front page is going to be a link to sign up for that webinar. I want you to get signed up right now. I will see you there January 23rd, the 7 basic building blocks of any booming business. I want you to succeed. I know that this webinar will help you do that. Let's dominate 2017 together. All right. Talk to you later, Free Market Squad. Deuces.